and it seems as though all forget the promise of the great God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Jews, his chosen people. On that day, I have made a covenant with Abram and said to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt, remember how big that is, to the great river of the Euphrates. Do you know how much bigger that promised land is than that which Israel now occupies? Well, you either believe that divine promise made in Genesis 15 or you don't. If the land is God-given, then the Jews and the Israelis cannot give it away. They have no right to give it away. And the promise of God is everlasting to the very ends of time. Words again from the great God Jehovah. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God. Amen. And the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. Thus saith the Lord. So again, you either believe that or you don't. Matters not your interpretation. It either is or it isn't. How nice it was for Hamas to recognize the 66th birthday of Israel, the anniversary of the great state of Israel. Hamas released a video entitled, No Hope. No Hope, Israel. The title was a play on words referring to Israel's national anthem, which means hope. The video has been described as putrid, vile, and an absolute true rendering of Hamas thinking. The newspaper, The Times of Israel, described it as a piece with slavish devotion to death, delusion, and Hamas imperialism. On the birthday celebration, no less. An Arab singer sings the words, quote, the army of the Zionists was built of wax, and now it has melted and has no hope, end quote. A computer-generated militant character smashes Israel's state symbols into rubble as the song goes on. The song urges all Israelis to leave the country, or if not, their fates will be sealed beneath the dirt. And the peace talks go on. Computer-generated Hamas gunmen then drive the Jews out of Jerusalem and celebrate on the Temple Mount of Al-Aqsa. At the Al-Aqsa Mosque, as the bodies of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, their soldiers riddle the streets. Happy birthday, Israel, with love from Hamas. And the peace talks go on, and the war continues. And all the while, Israeli scientists, they have perfected research which will lead to finding new treatments and even cures for diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. God bless the Israelis. What a world, my friends. What a world. Iran is behind so much of the war and hatred. Even other nations take note, no matter the inefficiencies and ineptness of the United States. The Canadian government has closed its embassy in Tehran and ordered Iranian diplomats to leave Canada. Diplomatic ties have formally been severed between the two nations. Canada openly accused Iran and its Islamic regime with sponsoring terrorism, and rightly so. Iran, Canada stated, was viewed as the most significant threat to global peace and security in the world today. And so it is. Would that America and we the people were as straight, aggressive, and honest with warlike Arab nations, and especially Hamas, and fanatic jihadist Islam. Why are we not straight with fanatic Islam? Why? But it is a war at work till the very end, my fellow Americans. There will be a third world war. It is only a question of when, and the timeline shortens. In fact, one writer, John Galt, writing in Isra Pundit, stated the following. World War III has actually begun, and the enemy is not the one we expected. America and the Western world are facing a danger they have never faced before. Our enemy is not a government or a country. We are fighting enemies who hate us so much that they are willing to kill themselves in order to kill us. This war puts our conventional military forces at a serious disadvantage. There is practically no defense against this kind of warfare. The enemy is Islam, and it is raging this war against our civilization. Let me repeat that. The enemy is Islam, and it is raging, this war against our civilization. Not just nations, but civilization. The Quran teaches its followers, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and be unyielding to them. And their abode, that's you and me, their abode is hell, and evil is their destination. Quran 9:73. And if history is any guide, religious wars have been the bloodiest in human history. The contention that all wars eventually should end may not be applicable this time. Amen to that. This one is different, with new generations of Islamists willing to kill themselves in order to destroy the infidels. It may take generations, centuries to end, especially given the high birth rate of the enemy. End quote. John Galt. Wow. What an incredible statement. And I think true in every word. True to the point and honest. Nothing politically correct. The world so needs to hear this straightforward talk. And in the face of this new hostile and vicious enemy, we must even more so remember the words of the great God of Abraham, who said the following in the Torah. You Jews, listen up. The Torah, in the book of Exodus, Yahweh will fight for you. You need only to be still. Wow. Not sure what that means, but that's powerful. I will make all of your enemies turn their back and run. Run. Amen. I, for one, do hope and pray that the Israelis listen to this great Yahweh and turn to him and pray and seek his will and help. I would take that divine help any day over a nuclear bomb, wouldn't you? So the code red alert goes off in Israel time and time again, day after day, warning of missiles and terrorist attacks, while the peace talks go on. What a joke. And all the while, Israeli scientists discover a natural bacterium that combats river blindness caused by infectious mosquitoes and black flies. By the way, these racist Jews, descendants of pigs and apes, have now been able to help and protect from their discoveries the people of 11 African nations. 11 African nations. God bless the Jews. By the way, Jewish Tel Aviv is now 104 years old. Interesting, isn't it? And now comes the Wall Street Journal. In 2005, Israel withdrew from Gaza. Since then, Israel has been forced to wage war twice to stop a rain of rockets and mortars fired by Hamas and its allies. And now comes the inevitable third time. It's happening even as we speak and always ready to happen. When Israel left Gaza, it dismantled 21 Israeli settlements and forcibly evicted 9,000 Israeli settlers. World Bank President James Wolfensohn was appointed by Western governments to turn Gaza into a showcase of a future Palestinian state. Not. They began almost immediately a civil war behind Hamas and Fatah, the political party of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The war was settled in 2007, but Hamas seized power by force. There then began a steady increase of rocket fire on Israel, which only ended when Israel temporarily invaded Gaza in 2009. Then there came about the Iron Dome defense system against missiles and mortars, which has saved tens of thousands of Israeli lives. Amen. But Hamas is undeterred. The war goes on, even as the peace talks go on. This Hamas aggression serves its very own political purposes, while Palestinian casualties serve as propaganda purposes. Then come the ridiculous and impossible claims by Western governments for both sides to de-escalate. That'll never happen. Hear now the words and advice of the Wall Street Journal to the Israelis. Our advice to the Israelis is that if they want to avoid having to go to war over Gaza every 3 years or so, they will need to destroy Hamas as a political entity and a military power. This does not mean a permanent reoccupation of all of Gaza, but it will require a land campaign that destroys Hamas' ability to wage war. That probably includes retaking the old Philadelphia corridor, which runs along the Egyptian border to prevent the underground smuggling of increasingly sophisticated munitions, many coming from Iran. Thus saith the Wall Street Journal. Strong words, but undoubtedly good, strong advice. And all the while, as David admonishes us in the Psalms, the world continues to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They pray and they pray, and we do as well. So I suppose it is the way of mankind, that way or the way of God, the way of love and peace. Looks to me like man is prevailing, at least for now, does it not? And the war goes on, all the while Israel develops ReWalk, the first commercially viable upright walking assistance to enable paraplegics to stand, walk, and climb stairs. God bless them, you know, these blood suckers. God bless them. No matter the result of this present conflict, war is incessant, continuous, only one of ebb and flow. There may be pause, de-escalation, here and there, but there will always be war of some kind or the threat thereof. And the development of warlike potential and capabilities, including and especially nuclear, and the buildup of munitions and manpower, and of course hatred, vitriolic hatred, enmity between the seeds, Arab and Jew. Perhaps, as scriptures state, only the return of the Messiah can solve the problem and end the wars. And perhaps that return is soon, sooner than we think. For these cannot be anything but the beginning of the last times, the end days, don't you think? Many think that one all-out war, one nuclear explosion, will involve the entire world in the Middle East, and all will be at war, directly or indirectly, want it or not. Some horrendous military act or acts of war, or one nuclear bomb set off by one rogue nation, will mark the beginning of the Third World War. And with the military capability, the nuclear capability of so many nations, that can well indeed be the beginning of the last days and perhaps the end of the world as we know it. That's not doom and gloom stuff, but a matter of tough and aggressive reality. It's happening. These are things sure to come. The question is only when. The God of Abraham has promised blessing to those who bless the Jews, and his divine curse to those who curse, abuse, or attempt to destroy the Jews. I choose blessing, and consequently, I am with them, and I am for them, with the blessings of God Almighty. I choose to protect and defend this great promised nation, and I trust you do as well. Israel is democracy at work, no matter its problems. It is fair to all mankind, all religions, and all minorities, unlike its brutal Islamic neighbor nations. Israel can and must stand against anti-Semitism, especially the new and virulent anti-Semitism, and even the neglect or abandonment of Judaism and Israel by so many left-leaning Jews. I find that hard to believe. They're no better than the Arabs. They are tragedy, and they are traitors to Judaism and Israel, just like the United Nations, the Arab League of Nations, and in so many ways, our very own country and our president, no matter the lame and insincere rhetoric. By their fruits ye shall know them, and our fruits, our American fruits in the Middle East, are just simply not right. War is inevitable, and that little sliver of land will be the epicenter, the focus of the Middle East and the world as wars unfold. We as Christians, not just evangelicals, should stand with this country, our spiritual forefathers, from whom our Lord, a Jew himself, came in might and love. It is our duty as Christians, and it is our privilege as human beings, and we should, like all good Jews and Israelis, stand with Menachem Begin, a right-thinking prime minister of Israel, and never, ever forget the words he said as follows. For all Jews and for all Christians, the Jews will never, ever be eliminated or destroyed. Never again. Never again.